Aliens 3 mostly confused me as a kid. Mostly.
This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed.
Go Ripley, go Ripley.
Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
Go Ripley, go Ripley.
And now for the obligatory socials.
Go Ripley, go Ripley.
Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the Horror of Babylon podcast at gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that the Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Alienathon, where we discuss Alien Cubed. I am Ryan, and with me as always is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Behind the scenes note, Daniel hasn't been drinking a lot, and actually I've also been cutting back on the beer while recording. He has gotten back on the fitness horse, and I am trying to do the same in his footsteps, but we're both having a beer for this episode.
Yeah. I think we can justify this one.
Yeah. And it's light beer, only 2.6 carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which a slice of bread has about 12 grams of carbs. So
yeah.
You'd have to drink almost 5 of these to equal a slice of bread.
Exactly.
So I'm allowed to have 5 of these, right? No, that's not how it works.
Maybe when we get to some... You know, I almost would have brought us a case for this one if I would have planned better. This is like one of the... I think there are some redeeming qualities in the rest of these movies, but to say I liked any of them is...
Yeah, they're... Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Thank you to our patrons, Abigail, the First Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons. Who would not be welcome on the double Y chromosome prison? Because she has an X chromosome. Poor Abby, how will she ever get over it?
It'd be like her going back to anime club.
I'm leaving that in.
I hope so. I thought it was really funny.
And someone who would be welcome, Logan.
The full metal patron.
You say Logan. Whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Keep going. And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, who is sponsoring the Alienathon. And thus, the people who made us watch this movie. You can visit them at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, the Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or you can visit Ronald III, Grampus of Christmas, in his cell at Fiorana 161. Yes, he is one of the 25 prisoners there. However, he is the only one who's kept in a cell 24/7. They don't let him wander around the prison like they... do the others. They trust Golik more than they trust Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. Okay, trigger warning. Mutilation of a child's body?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you don't want to see autopsies.
Absolute dystopia.
Yeah. Alien horror movie.
Yes.
Aliens action movie.
Yes.
Alien Cube, dreariness for the sake of dreariness.
Finchiness for the sake of finchiness.
Yeah. Oh, I think David Finch is a great director that kind of got shafted on a lot of
protection
stuff.
I like some of his movies, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, he's still attached to... I mean, he said he wouldn't make this again, but...
Yeah. So, our history with Aliens... Alien 3, or Alien Cubed, this is the first time I've seen it. When did you see this for the first time?
I was young. Not as young as the many times I had seen Aliens, but it was the second Alien movie I'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen Aliens and Alien 3 multiple times before I ever saw Alien. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to remember the exact moment. And because I was a super young kid, I didn't really get a lot of what was going on in this movie. I just knew that where's all my Marines with the guns? And there's only one alien? This is bullshit, you know?
So, I think as a kid, a lot of the things I find offensive about this movie would not have been as obvious or bothered me as much as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think I would have, like, loved this movie as a kid either.
I was mostly bored by it, but there's a new alien variant.
Yeah.
So, you know, you keep watching just so you get more glimpses of it.
And also, we were 90s kids who didn't have regular access to the internet and were kind of starved for... I don't want to say starved for content because you could just turn on the TV.
Yeah.
But we were kind of limited into...
We didn't have TikTok.
Yeah. We had to watch the movies that our parents bought or rented for us, and we had to watch what was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we couldn't just go on Netflix and pick one of thousands of movies to watch. So, sometimes our opinions are formed by what we were exposed to as children, which was not normally within our control.
The vampires are pure myth, superstition. I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
Okay, so background. This film is directed by David Fincher. You may know him from Fight Club, Seven, Zodiac, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and The Social Network.
I love all of those movies.
I've only seen Fight Club, The Social Network, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. However, I do like all three of those movies.
I think you might like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, especially... You'd like the book.
I haven't read or watched it because you and Hef and I have talked about maybe covering it at some point.
And I think you'd like Zodiac for, like, the quasi-historical...
I've meant to watch Zodiac and Seven. It's just not something...
But it's another one of those ones where it's very bleak. So, and, I mean, it's about a serial killer, so...
I've only seen The Social Network and the Brad Pitt movie. Mm-hmm. I've only seen those once, and I saw them both when they came out. Fight Club I've seen several times because when I was a senior in high school, our English term paper for senior year had to be on existentialism. So I decided to make the topic of my paper existentialism in film. And I wrote about four movies, and I watched all four of them multiple times in preparation for this paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they were Fight Club, The Big Lebowski, Donnie Darko, and American Beauty. So,
not bad choices.
Yeah.
Fincher is also responsible for one of my favorite Netflix series that got canceled before its time, Manhunt.
Netflix doesn't cancel.
Yeah.
Wait, is that based on the Rockstar game?
No, it's,
I'm not interested, sorry.
It's based on the, guy who came up with the term serial killer.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's, they change his name and they change, it's a lot of it's super fictionalized, but it does follow a lot of the actual cases they did. Mm. In fact, there's, scenes on YouTube of the actual interview he did side by side with the interview he does with the serial killer in the show, and it's almost just, like, scene for, it's great.
Speaking of, historical, fictionalized stuff. Oppenheimer comes out tomorrow night.
Yeah. Are we going to go see that in Barbie?
I think I might skip Barbie.
Yeah, I'm also going to skip Barbie.
If Emma really wanted to see it, I would take her, but she doesn't want to see
it. I honestly want to see Oppenheimer, like, a lot.
No, I want to see... I think now that Indiana Jones has passed,
yeah,
the two movies this year I'm most looking forward to are A Haunting in Venice and Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I trust Christopher Nolan the same way I don't bet against James Cameron. So
that's fair. Okay, so let's continue. The screenplay. Oh, I'm sorry. This was David Fincher's first theatrical film. He mostly did music videos prior to this movie.
Yep.
And if you look at his IMDb, it's like dozens and dozens of music videos. He did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was written by David Giler, Walter Hill, and Larry Ferguson, not together, but in multiple stages. There were about four different versions of this script before they started filming. And they actually started filming without a script, without like a completed official approved script, and they were filming originally with David Ward as the director, and he left during filming, and David Fincher took over during filming, which sometimes there are movies where that has happened where it has turned out okay, but more often than not,
usually not.
It's a bad sign. This film had a budget of $50 to $60 million, and it took in $159.8 million, which sounds good on the surface, but it actually underperformed in American box offices. Over $100 million of that is from outside North America, which,
and they get to keep less of that too.
Yeah.
So
it's still like,
it was probably like a success in quotation marks, but studio wise when they're looking at like the previous movies in this,
right? Yeah. And it was also mostly poorly received by family critics,
yeah,
and general audiences. So just
what? No, I get to watch all your reactions to this in real time at least, so this is great.
We should have watched this together, because yeah. I was upset. I would say if Alien 3 was my child, uh-huh, I would set it down and say, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But I'm also a little mad.
I was going to start sending you Newt memes, and then I found out I didn't have the heart for such cruelty. So,
we'll get to Newt. All right, so actually, I have the original concept for like the first version of the script. And this, I'm just going to read this. So they originally wanted to take it in a new direction. They didn't want to do a repeat of the first two movies. So what they wanted to do was explore the duplicity of the Weyland-Yutani Corporation. And I'm just reading straight from the wiki here. Mm-hmm. And why they were so intent in using the aliens as biological weapons. Various concepts were discussed, eventually settling on a two-part story with a treatment for a third film featuring the underhanded Weyland-Yutani Corporation facing off against a militarily aggressive culture of humans whose rigid socialist ideology has caused them to separate from Earth society. Corporal Hicks would be promoted to the protagonist in the third film, with Ellen Ripley making a cameo appearance before returning in the fourth movie, which would be an epic battle with alien warriors mass-produced by the expatriated Earthlings. Sigourney Weaver liked the Cold War metaphor and agreed to the smaller role. This is not the movies that they ended up making. Like we said, the script went through multiple different writers and multiple different versions, and we got this.
This is going to be happening more and more often as we go.
Great.
It's like multiple scripts, ideas that get scrapped.
And again, like,
there have been more alien movie treatments than there have been alien movies.
If you want to see some of these alternate versions of Alien 3 realized, in 2018, Dark Horse released a comic, William Gibson's Alien 3, which is a 5-part comic adaptation of the unproduced version of the screenplay.
Buying it.
You buy it, we'll do a bonus episode.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Also, on Alien's 40th anniversary in 2019, Audible released an audio drama of Gibson's script. It was adapted by Dirk Maggs, and Michael Benn and Lance Hendrickson actually reprised their roles. And in 2021, Pat Cadigan released a book called Alien 3, the Unproduced First Draft Screenplay, as just like a script that you can read. So you can experience that out there, just not as a theatrical film.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
So let's jump to structure and themes. What I want to ask is, we spent a lot of time on the last episode talking about sci-fi action versus sci-fi horror. First, I want to talk about genre and say, what is this? And then let's talk about what are some alien themes that have continued in Alien 3, and what are some new themes? So first, what is this genre-wise?
I don't know. It probably leans closer to horror than aliens.
Yeah.
You you go back to the people getting picked off one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of slasher-esque elements.
In a lot of ways, though, it kind of defies genre. It kind of is its own thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like, force it into a box. I do think sci-fi horror is the closest. But...
existential sci-fi drama horror.
Just throw dystopian in there.
Dystopia. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... there are a lot of adjectives that you could use to describe this, but there's not, like, a single word.
As much as I would love to see David Fincher get another chance at an Alien movie, I will say there are some things that are very Fincher-esque in this. One of those things being, literally anybody can die. This movie isn't afraid to kill anybody, no matter how they establish them.
Which we will talk about in characters.
Yeah. It's also not afraid to have, like, these... I don't think they're good in this movie, per se, but he has, like, long, drawn-out dialogue segments mm-hmm. where you get character by characters talking to other characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that in this movie. Especially with the... one of my biggest problems with this movie, I can't remember any of the characters' names.
I only remember, like, the core, like, three or four.
I call, like, the doctor the doctor.
Clemens.
Yeah, and he talks to the warden.
Andrews.
Yeah, you remember better than me.
And his, the warden's second in command, mm-hmm. 85, his name is Aaron. And then the Malcolm X is Dylan. I shouldn't say that. The religious leader is Dylan.
I'm a murderer and rapist of women. Malcolm X.
I'm sorry. It's the glasses. It's the glasses. Those are like... iconic, like Malcolm X glasses.
Yeah.
If you would have, like, described this to me, like, before I watched it, I think on paper I would have loved the idea. Because it's walking back away from the action genre. It's taking away the machine guns. It's them having to find creative ways to fight the alien. It goes back to the, like... there's one alien.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
And they don't have any boom-boom guns. It's like, what do we have on board? A makeshift fire. And...
They have even less than the crew of the Nostromo had.
Mm-hmm.
And I like all that about it. I just don't like how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the things I really dislike about the movie kind of make all that not matter.
Yeah.
But, like, on paper, I really like the premise and the concept. Or at least what he was trying to do.
I wasn't even going to bother to try to describe this to you. I was just like, he just needs to see it.
Yeah, and...
I was like, I think I know Ryan well enough. One of two things are going to happen. He's going to pretend to like it to try to piss me off.
I wanted to like this movie, but I just can't.
Or he's going to be drinking when we watch it.
It lost me 2 minutes in
mm-hmm.
with... one, this movie really overuses slow motion.
Yeah.
But when the guy picks up Ripley and it does that slow-mo of him running across the beach,
yeah.
I just started laughing and laughing, and I'm like, you lost me. 30 seconds
in. Too artsy.
Yes.
God, I mean...
you can just call me Ryan.
You deserve more than that.
Yeah, but maybe not God.
Demigod. Jesus. Hercules.
Jesus is, like, my fourth favorite demigod. Like, after Hercules and Percy Jackson. I'm sorry. Keep going.
This is my least favorite genre of sequel. And genre's probably the wrong word. But all I know is you take your previous movie and then do a hard reset button.
Sequel archetype?
Yeah. Like, oh, okay, we kind of had all of these characters and they're riding off into the sunset. We need to kill off five of them in the opening scene. You know what I'm talking about. This isn't the first time we've come across this. Mm-hmm. But it's my least favorite thing to do in a sequel where you're like, we have to get the one person back to zero so that they can just do the thing again. And I hate it.
And they could have... they could have made it so that they got back to Earth, and they could have had Ripley... They contract Ripley to go to this planet or whatever. They could have written it so that all the others didn't have to die.
I'm even okay if they die. I just hate when it's done, like, in the opening.
Yeah. It would have been one thing if... I don't like that all of them die, but Newt is the particularly offensive one.
Yeah.
It would have been one thing if Newt was in this movie and she died as of a result of this movie.
Yeah.
But just to kill her off and poo on anybody.
Very unceremoniously.
Yeah. And it cheapens Aliens.
It cheapens everything that they, like, fought for at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, like, sometimes you fight for things and then you still lose, like, the next
day.
That
happens, yeah.
But... when you're experiencing a movie, you don't want to see it. And no one enjoys that. Oh, not no. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
And very rarely is this archetype enjoyed.
And this movie is like... obviously, there's value in, like, dystopian science fiction.
Yeah.
Because it can be a commentary on, like, current things that are actually happening. And it can be, like, a motivation. It's like, this is what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, you see something good... in dystopian science fiction, using Alien as an example. Alien is very dystopian. However, like, you still see, like, the crew of the Nostromo and their camaraderie and the way they joke around with each other and they enjoy each other's company and they give each other shit. But, like, there is no happiness to be found in this movie at all.
It's like, just 2 hours of bleak.
Yeah. And it's not... and, like, let's compare it to Pet Sematary, which is the most bleak thing, but Pet Sematary has a story that's worth telling.
Yeah.
There's a point to Pet Sematary. It's a evaluation. It's a discussion of how we view death and how different people react to death.
It also lets us get to the bleakness. It lets us enjoy the kid before yeah. killing them.
But this is just, like, what is the point of this movie?
Yeah.
And I know, like, Movies don't have to have a point as long as they're enjoyable to watch, but this is not enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rough. Okay, so to the themes, are there any themes in this movie that you are kind of continued from Alien and Aliens?
Forced impregnation.
Yep.
This one even goes, like, a little bit farther. I don't think it was necessarily intentional. But if you wanted to, you could read this movie as, like, an allegory for an unwanted pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what Ripley is dealing with the entire time.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't really think that that was, like, an intentional theme, but that's mm-hmm. something that, through the story that they told, that if you want to read that, there's enough there that I'm not going to argue with you.
For a new theme, this is the first movie that really explores the backstory of different characters.
Mm-hmm.
In the first two, it's really more about the characters and who they are in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really learn anything about who they were prior to the events of the movie.
Yeah.
This movie does spend a decent amount of time talking about, and not with every character, but with a lot of characters, it spends time talking about who they were prior to the events of the movie. Which I guess makes sense because it's kind of a prison movie. And, like, what's the one thing that in every prison movie you explore? It's how they got to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what else do they have to talk about?
A woman.
A woman. She cannot leave the infirmary without an escort. She cannot.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Let's go to characters. And, of course, we're going to start with Ellen Ripley, played by Sigourney Weaver, who I love, but this is definitely, like, my least favorite Ripley so far. I don't understand why she wasn't more upfront about her situation, because I didn't feel like the movie had to go down the way it did if she just would have told them off the bat what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because of how upfront she was with it in Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first thing, she's like, we experienced this alien life form. It killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you could argue she's used to not being believed, but, like, what's the point? I need you to dig into this girl because of
cholera?
Cholera that's been extinct for 10 million years or yeah. whatever.
I don't understand why she's lying to these people, especially, like, the doctor. Like, very quickly you realize that he's, like, a logical and reasonable person that you can talk to. And, like, what's the advantage? Like, there's no situation where it's going to be better because she hid the alien from them. I guess you could say that initially she doesn't have any reason to think that there was an alien on the ship, but I mean, she's got to be suspicious because your ship just doesn't crash for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Like, and you knew the queen was on the ship and you were in hypersleep. You don't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't buy that she isn't more upfront with them. But it leads to people getting killed, which is what this movie seems to
enjoy.
Yeah. But I mean, overall, like, I mean, it's still a good performance by Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
I love that the perm is finally gone. I
like the perm.
I don't. I love her to, because that's not what it's like. It's just a haircut. It's not who she is. But I think she looks great with a shaved head. I might be a little biased because I very recently have started having that hairstyle, but I can't get behind the perm. So I was happy to see it go. What do you think of Ellen Ripley?
I think her performance is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hard. Okay, we'll get to Sigourney Weaver phoning it in. But in
is
here,
that Alien Requiem?
Maybe.
Or Resurrection.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's AVP Requiem.
Yeah. But here, you know, I mean, she's working intensely with the material she is given.
And she was a producer on this film.
Mm-hmm.
So she definitely had, like, an investment in seeing the film do well and make money.
Yeah.
So she wasn't just like, oh, this is a shitty movie, let's get it over with.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe this is her favorite Alien movie. Probably not, but maybe.
You know, I have a sneaking suspicion that it might have been at the time, like when she was making it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm putting my best performance into this. I'm trying so hard.
I could see being on set with this movie and seeing all the pieces of the movie separately and not seeing them all put together, thinking, like, this could be good.
Yeah.
Until you, like, see all the pieces put together and see the full puzzle and, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, on paper, I like the idea of this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Charles S. Dutton plays Leonard Dillon, who is the leader of the prisoners. He's the religious leader.
Malcolm X.
He looks just like Malcolm X. And actually, let's talk about him and Jonathan Clements, who's played by Charles Dance, because this movie does a bait and switch where the first half of it leads you to believe that the Dr. Clemens is going to be like Ripley's kind of like main accomplice in this movie. How Hicks...
Your new Hicks.
Yeah, your new Hicks. And then, boom, he's dead! And now, like, then, like, Dillon becomes her new Hicks, but she also spends a lot of time with Ahrens mm-hmm. in the second half of this movie. I don't know, just talk. I need to stop talking.
This movie does something that I do like, especially for, you know, quote-unquote horror movies, and establishing that really anybody can die. And,
killing Ripley.
I think killing off, what's the doctor's name?
Clemens.
Killing him off is a good way to show that. Especially because the alien wasn't being exactly choosy before. It just, like, it showed up and killed somebody. Oh, yeah. There it is. Shit. He's right in front of him. What's he gonna do? Scalpel it to death?
Yeah. People in alien movies don't tend to have plot armor.
Yeah.
This isn't Star Wars. This isn't Luke and Han running through this and just dodging stormtrooper blasts, like.
So I do think killing him off about halfway through established, huh, maybe no one's gonna make it. And that can usually build some tension. However, I just didn't like any of the characters.
I didn't like any characters at all in this movie. Yeah. Even Ripley, to a point,
yeah.
I got annoyed with.
I think she did a good job acting. I didn't like how she was characterized.
Yeah, and honestly, this is weird, but I thought, like, the most sympathetic character was the second-in-command, Ahrens, who they called 85.
Yeah.
Not, and he wasn't really sympathetic, but he was the closest to me because he was, like, trying to get home to his family and his kid, mm-hmm. and he made, like, a bad decision, and in the end, he tried to kill the real Bishop, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Hyrule Bishop.
It's just, this movie's a mess. The characters are a mess. How many of the actual prisoners do you actually remember their names?
I don't remember any of their names. I don't remember Doctor. I don't remember Black Guy.
That's Dylan and Clemens.
Yeah.
Golic was the crazy one who let the alien out of the room they had it trapped in.
Okay.
I just kind of randomly remember some of their names. Murphy was the one who got cut up by the fan.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's first kill.
And the guy who got killed from the alien dropping down from the ceiling, his name was Kevin. Mm-hmm. And I only remember that because I thought Kevin was a weird choice. Because, like, it's kind of... I mean, not that there are really a lot of weird names, because there aren't, like... For some reason, it just... The name Kevin stuck out to me, like, oh, no, Kevin! I guess because...
Hi, Bob.
Yeah. Here's the thing, is when I hear the name Kevin, the two things I think of first is Kevin from Minions and Kevin from The Office, which are just both very silly comedic characters. So, and then also, when you say Bob, the first character I think of is Bob from Minions. So, King Bob! I don't know. So,
I've never seen any of the Minions movies.
Despicable Me is actually pretty good. It gets a bad rap from parents because the Minions themselves are very, very... These are obviously made for kids to sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wolf and Cub story of Gru and his three little girls is very good and definitely worth watching. Hey, Ron, why don't you make us watch the Despicable Me-a-thon instead of this?
Or Babylon watches Despicable Me.
I mean, I'll take it. All right.
I don't have a lot to say
about
these.
The characters. Yeah, because they're not really characters. They're just...
Doctor got laid.
He did.
Which, I'm like... Okay, I can't say that I've never stress fucked somebody before, so I guess I get it, Ripley. I do.
And she hasn't gotten laid in, like, over 60 years.
Yeah.
So.
There's some bats in the belfry.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be that picky if you haven't had sex in over 60 years.
I'm not that picky if I haven't had sex in 6 days.
All right, let's move on.
I'll kill you all! I'll drive you crazy, and I'll kill you all! I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Scary shit. Is this movie scary? I would say it's gross.
It is gross.
The fleas, I thought were effective just because they grossed me out.
Yeah.
The ox that was covered in parasites and was, like, jerking around because the alien was inside it, I thought was very gross and turned my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing in this movie scared me.
Yeah.
It's even less scary than Aliens, which wasn't scary. Did this movie scare you as a kid?
No, it confused me mostly as a kid.
Aliens 3 mostly confused me as a kid. Mostly.
Yeah. I'm so glad you learned the origins to all of this.
I thought that was from South Park. No, I knew yeah. I knew that it was a parody of something. I just never knew what it was. Like, I thought the high school girls thing was from Family Guy. What about... So, a big detractor for me was... And I don't want to criticize it because this was, like... I think it was 1990.
Mm-hmm.
But the computer graphic... the computer-generated alien was really bad.
Yep.
But, I mean, this was like, pre-Toy Story. This is pre-Phantom Menace. This is, like, the most basic of basic CG.
Okay, doesn't mean it looks good.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be fair in the context and the time that it was made.
Yeah, but in the time and the context it was made, there are two previous movies that managed to make good-looking aliens.
And then in the movie's defense, when they did use a practical alien...
It looked good.
It did look good.
Just use that. Cut out everything else.
But, like, the first time, like, it pops out of the ox, and then it, like, runs away...
Mm-hmm.
First, I'm like, what happened to the chest burster? Isn't there, like, a stage in between the xenomorph and the facehugger, like the chest burster. But then, like, it's running. That's weird. How'd they get a puppet to... That's not a puppet. That's a... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Ew. What did you think of the effects outside of the alien?
Brown. there's this time in, God, must have been early 2000s, so, like, late high school for us, college.
Mm-hmm.
Where people were criticizing video games for just being, oh, it's that Gears of War gray. Where, it, like, you'd be playing Fallout and everything's gray. Because, you know, when you don't have a lot of color, it's easier to, like, make textures blend and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with this movie. Everything's brown. Everything's gray. And that can be fine. But when I'm comparing it to, like... It's not like there's a lot of color in the previous movies, but something about them just felt more worldly, I guess.
Yep. It actually reminded me a lot of the color palette from the first part of Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, which opens on a desert planet, and which was made right around the same time as this movie, and it just kind of threw me to Star Trek V, directed by William Shatner.
And this is, like, a prison world, so...
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't be expecting them to have, like, their own little mother womb computer.
No. No. Probably not. They don't even get HBO.
Yeah.
Kiss me, fat boy!
Kiss Me, Fat Boy, Ripley finally gets some, which I was saving the joke that she hasn't gotten laid in over 60 years for this. You made me say it earlier.
Yeah.
But, because she was in hypersleep for the first one, like, I think they said 57 years.
And you know the second time she went to sleep, she's just like, I'm just going to fuck Hicks as soon as we're up.
I know. And I think, like, if he wouldn't have been injured, they definitely would have done it before they went to sleep.
Yeah.
They would have put... They moved to bed.
Stress fuck.
Yeah, and told Bishop to shut off his eyes and his ears. Or they would have just let him watch.
Yeah. Mm. You get to be our cuck, Bishop. We'll prop your body up in the corner.
Oh, so we didn't... We went through characters and effects, and we didn't mention Bishop's scene. What did you think of Bishop's scene?
It was okay.
It was gross.
It was gross. I think that's probably one of the scenes that kind of... It's like that and the autopsy scene are what I remember most from my childhood.
Yeah, they're definitely, like, the most, like, visually significant scenes.
Yeah.
I could not handle that autopsy scene. So that was effective. Yeah. It wasn't so much scary, but it was effective. But again, just, like, gross, both in terms of, like, it's gross because they're cutting up a kid and it's gross because it's gross kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the bone saw was too much. When he uses the bone saw and, like, cuts into her chest and her rib cage just, like, snaps up like a broken taco. Like, that was too much for me. That was not a fan.
Yeah, I figured you'd have a hard time.
Yeah.
I have a hard time.
Yeah, it's gross.
My rib cage opens up at night, mostly.
My rib cage mostly opens up at night. Mostly. Mostly. Alien 3 mostly sucks. Mostly.
I'm sure there are defenders of this movie that find things in it that we just don't, but it's not for Daniel.
If you want to come on, if you listen to this, and again, like, I don't like to make people feel bad about liking the things they like, because mainly because I have been made to feel bad for liking several different things.
Same.
But, like, it's hard for me to imagine a perspective where this is a good movie, but if there is someone out there who wants to, you know, do, like, a brief thing with us...
I will... Open invitation.
Yeah, and We will be open-minded, and I want to hear everything you have to say.
You will get an entire segment.
I guess the way that I could think of it is, like, maybe if you saw this as a kid, and it was the first Alien movie you ever saw, and you were just kind of like, you know, this is the movie that got me into Alien... this is the, it's very nostalgic for me. I recognize that it has these problems, but it still, it just puts me back to a certain place in my childhood.
If you like bleakness. Alien variants are always cool. It might not have looked at the best of CGI, but just the idea of, oh, new alien variant, if that's what you're into.
And there are some cool, like, alien kills.
Yeah.
The hot lead, I liked. We haven't talked about it. Let's just talk about it now. I know we're still, like, technically in Kiss Me, Fat Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really talk about Ripley dying.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts of that when you were a kid? And then what do you think of it now as an adult?
That sucked. And me as an adult. This still sucks. I'm not against heroes dying.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it just feels cheap. And in this one, to me, it still feels kind of cheap. It feels like this is the only way we can think to bookend the series, as opposed to the end of Aliens is honestly just a fine bookend for Ripley.
The one of the smartest things I ever heard on a podcast was from an MCU rewatch podcast that was rewatching like every movie leading up to Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, back when like kind of Marvel hype was at its peak before everybody was kind of like, you know, tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Pre Infinity War, the MCU had a reputation of like not killing off its characters.
Yeah.
That has kind of changed since Infinity War and Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, that was the reputation. And this podcast was called Countdown to Infinity, and it was by Loading Ready Run. And one of the hosts said something in praise of the MCU, saying, it's harder to let your characters live than to kill them off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of always stuck with me. And I do see this as a good example of that, where killing Ripley was just like trying to take the easy way out.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, letting her continue live. And like, because I do think it would be difficult to take her from where she is in this movie and then continue to write. Like, where do you take the character after that?
With all due respect to Sigourney Weaver, I love her as an actress. We've been kissing her ass for like 2.5 episodes.
Oh my
now.
God, I wish we were.
But I think Alien Cube's biggest mistake was having Ripley be the main character again. When you have this universe where really, just if anyone stumbles across the Xenomorph or anyone has a sample of it, they're going to have a bad time. And let's be honest, most people are showing up to see the cool alien.
Yeah.
Now, I do think you would need a good actor. You need some name pull. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sigourney Weaver, she's been in the films twice now. They were both bangers.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly believe you probably would have had a better time if you would have just tried to write an alien movie without her. Like, aliens, bookend, she's gone.
That was the original concept.
Yeah.
Was that Hicks would be the main character, she would have a cameo in 3, and then she'd come back to be, like, the hero for Aliens 4.
Yeah.
And kind of, I can picture, like, how that movie would work in my head.
Yeah. And on paper, and, you know, who knows, that might have also sucked. Yeah, but
maybe.
On paper, that sounds the direction I would have gone, is like, just put the alien, just put the creature in a new setting, which is what they did. They put it in a prison.
Yeah.
But they shoehorned in Ripley's story into it. Mm-hmm. And had to do that whole hard reset to do it, which I hate. Which spoils a lot of the movie for me.
For me, I think like the two biggest things are the killing off of Newt and Hicks and Bishop,
mm-hmm.
particularly Newt.
Yeah.
And just, like, the overall dour tone of it. Like, too dour.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they would have fixed one or both of those things, I think it could have been a passable movie. But I think I do kind of agree with what you said, but I think there is a good version of this movie that stars Sigourney Weaver that could have been made.
Somewhere in there.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
The power of Christ compels you. This is really the first Alien movie where religion plays kind of like a pivotal role or is a big theme.
I have to re-educate some of these men, huh?
So,
beats three of them to death after they try to rape Ripley.
So the prisoners in this movie are super religious, and we're told that their religion is like a variant of Christian fundamentalism. But what I thought was weird is they never try to rationalize the alien within their religion, because that's, if you're a super religious person and you come across an alien, you're going to try to rationalize it as like a demon or Satan spawn. And they never try to do that.
They almost did at one point, mm-hmm. when the one guy called it a dragon.
Yeah.
But then they never go anywhere with it. It ends up calling it a dragon.
Was that like just bad writing? Or was that like a choice they made? Because I feel like that's something that I would have done. Like, if you're going to have this group of characters be super religious and come across an alien monster, that's a discussion they should have.
I bet you that, I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to take some guesses, I would say that it existed in the script at some point, and there might even be some scenes out there that are, they kind of do that, and they were either came off as cheesy or someone didn't like them, so they were cut. Which is why I think, like, when he's calling the thing a dragon, which is directly what Lucifer's called in Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even remember that until I watched it this time. I was like, oh, is this going to go somewhere? Are they going to call this thing the devil? But then it never comes up again.
This movie is very dialogue heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So I could definitely see them like making editing choices, cutting out more dialogue.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
But I don't know it for a fact. If I had to guess without looking anything up.
That would make sense.
Oh my God, are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
Kings and Koontz, my king is, the perm is gone, and I think Sigourney Weaver looks great with no hair. I'm into it. I'm down to clown.
My king is your reaction to the movie, and my Koontz is your reaction to the movie.
And my Koontz is just Aliens 3. My Koontz is the fact that they decided to, instead of just make it Aliens 3, they decided to make it Alien Power of 3 or Alien Cubed, and I couldn't find a reason for that. And what you said when we discussed it off air was somebody just probably thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're probably right, but it's just like a stupid reason to...
It honestly should have been called Alien 2 because it's mm-hmm. the second one with only one alien.
Yeah. Or it should have just been something else, like Aliens...
Alien the Dragon.
Aliens Imprisoned. Or Imprisoned Aliens, or... Aliens on the double Y chromosome planet.
Alien free fall. Hire us, Fox. We know how to make taglines.
Hire us, 20th Century Studios.
Yeah.
They're not Fox anymore.
Yeah, they are not Fox anymore.
They're not Fox anymore.
Disney's eating everything.
Yeah, they are.
Well, maybe not now, but yeah, they were.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think they're letting this whole Microsoft... thing blow over, and then they'll probably try to buy something.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they bought Warner Brothers, I may not even bat an eye, because Warner Brothers is doing so badly at managing its properties right now.
Yeah. I feel bad for Blue Beetle.
Yeah. Is that technically a DCEU film, or is it just its own thing?
Okay. Do you want the complicated answer, or do you want like the corporate speak?
Neither. Never mind.
Yeah.
I don't care.
On Twitter, it's officially the first film in the new DC reboot. Even though it was greenlit and filmed mm-hmm. and written for everything before it.
Okay.
So if it does well, Blue Beetle will carry over into the new DC. That'll be their Blue Beetle.
But the Batman was not... either.
Yeah.
It's just its own thing.
It's just its own thing.
Okay.
Blue Beetle
like
was...
like Joker.
Blue Beetle was written to be part of, like, the soft reboot they were going to do after Flash,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the hard reboot that James Gunn pitched.
Right.
So
I hardly care anymore, but
yeah, right. I mean, I'm there. I'm a DC guy, and I'm not happy. I have my Adventures of Superman with Tomboy Lois. That's all I need.
Yeah. And I'm just reading Batman back issues, and I'm happy. So
yeah.
I have read quite a few of the DC Black Label stuff. So
yes,
I've been pretty happy with that overall. Not all of it, but some of it.
Overall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. All right, ranking. I didn't rank this ahead of time like I normally do.
So I get to see you do this in real time.
Yeah.
Why is it below Roar?
It's not.
It's not below Roar.
But it is. Roar. It is not. It's better than Fly. Lolita, Roar. I'm already at. I'm only three up the list. I'm like.
You're already like, ooh, maybe.
I guess I liked it more than Blood and Honey. I'm not really sure. I guess... Near Dark. Ugh. Vampire Hunter. Ugh.
Phantoms. Did you like it more than Phantoms?
I don't know. This... Okay. Leon is better. Bram Stoker's Dracula is better. Beware the Blob is better. Watchers, I at least had a little bit of fun with. Yeah, I guess The Ring is better. Phantoms, I guess Phantoms is a little better. Abraham Lincoln Vira.
This is where the struggle begins.
All right, Alien 3 is my new number 63, below the Toxic Avenger and above the Boogeyman Dollar Baby. It's my number 63.
Okay.
Here's the bottom half of your list. It says a lot when I rank something below Near Dark. It's better than Fly.
It is better than Fly.
It's better than Roar.
I like it more than All That You Would Love Will Be Carried Away. I like it more than The Boogeyman 1982. I like it more than Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, I like it more than The Holiday Special. I like it more than Watchers. I think I like it more than Near Dark. I think on just a technical perspective, I like it visually more than Horns. So I'm going to put it right below Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Because at least Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey is a meme.
So it's your 61 and my 63.
Yep.
So pretty close.
Great.
Homework. You're the new warden of Furana 161. You aim to make conditions worse. Without just outright killing everyone, how do you achieve this?
Okay, so we have a lottery. Hmm. It is called the Femboy Lottery. And whoever draws the number gets to be the woman for the month.
Sexy android women with no vaginas.
We were working along the same lines.
Who just walk around naked all the time.
No holes.
No holes. Sorry. And they don't even have like a mouth. They just have like that, like, you know, like Judy from the Jetsons just has like that,
yeah,
that box that goes. Okay.
That's funny.
For further read, I don't have anything to recommend if you like Alien 3.
If you like Alien 3, you'll probably like the other sequels.
If you like Alien 3, I recommend you reach out to us.
There's an Alien 3 video game, I'm pretty sure. We should look that up. Let's go to YouTube.
Please hold while the guys look this up on YouTube.
Super Nintendo?
Yeah. So if you like Alien 3, there's a video game.
I just want to watch a minute of this. Oh god, this video is 3.5 hours. Let's skip to the middle.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably... we skipped right into an ad. I hate YouTube sometimes.
I know. I don't want to pay for something I get for free, but these ads kill me. If YouTube Premium was $5 instead of $12, I would pay for it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the video game looks more fun than the movie. It reminds me of, like, the Indiana Jones Super NES game, or like the Super Star Wars games.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park had a game like this. It's just a side-scrolling shooter.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Go, Ripley. Go, Ripley.
Oh, they realized that everyone liked aliens more.
We didn't even talk about in our Aliens episode how she taped the gun and the flamethrower together.
Yeah.
Ripley looks so bad. These things are like machines. More prisoners are being held in furnace area. Okay. Alright.
Alright, so yeah, there you go. You got a video game.
Alright, upcoming on the Horror of Babylon this Sunday, August 13th, we are wrapping up Salem's Lot coverage with our review of some number of episodes of Chapel 8. We have not recorded this yet. I'm going to try and finish it by the time we record, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then Sunday, August 20th, we are going back to the realm of Dracula with the new film, The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Which is basically just Alien, but with Dracula.
Yeah. 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 Next two Thursday bonus episodes, Thursday, August 17th, we're back at the Treehouse of Horror of Babylon with their first parody of Frankenstein, If I Only Had a Brain.
Yeah.
And then the Alien-a-thon continues with Alien-a-thon Episode 4 on Thursday, August 24th with Alien Resurrection, which I know nothing about. I know Sigourney Weaver is in it somehow.
And Joss Whedon directs it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't even know that?
No, I didn't. Oh. I know. Okay. That's quite a slew of directors. Ridley Scott, James Cameron, David Fincher, Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He either wrote it or directed it.
Well, it's written by Joss Whedon.
Okay, so he wrote it.
And directed by Jean-Pierre
Jeunet.
Who did...
Nothing that I recognize.
I've seen the cover of this movie, Amelier, but I've never seen it. But I remember seeing that in video stores. And I know none of these other movies. Micmacs.
Like the Burial Grounds?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I've literally never heard of any of the... they're all French movies, so... Well, mostly French movies, so...
It was written by Joss Whedon.
Yeah, it was written by Joss Whedon of...
Joss Whedon fame.
Of Joss Whedon fame. Thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the Full Metal Patron. And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall, Morgantown, West Virginia, or at the Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And say hello to Ronald III, Grampus of Christmas, which most people don't know that he actually submitted himself to be the model for the Bishop Android and was one of the many rejected versions of the Bishop Android.
I would have bought him.
Yeah, I would have bought him too. I think he could have been like one of those like sex androids from Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do that. See. All right, thank you for rewatching Alien 3 and recording with me.
I would say it's been a good time, but I actually drank.
Yeah. Stay tuned for our socials. Thank you for listening and stay scary.
Stay scary, everybody.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the Horror of Babylon podcast at gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.